If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for seven figures. Go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code PODCAST for an instant $100 discount. See you in Nashville.
Listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right. Welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, joined in studio with Randy Engston. What's up, man?
I think he does it just to get me to laugh. I think every time.
I do it to entertain myself. If we're being honest, I just pause and twist. And anyways, guys, let's jump right into it. We've got four things gym owners do make mistakes on when doing grand openings or re-grand openings. And the reason we put re-grand openings in here is because there's a lot of people changing models, changing branding,
location
like into re-grand openings. Always a great idea. It's a great idea. One of the things way back, gosh, this must have been 4 years ago, we had an episode where I said we were talking about things to grow your business, and one of them was a rebrand. But I said, yeah. It takes some big balls to do a rebrand. And it does, because at the time, I think there was like three gyms that we were working with at the time that had kind of, with over the last year, do rebrands. It was Frank Nash to Stronger Personal Training. It was North Point Personal Training to Alloy. And it was our buddy Jared down in Bernier Fitness, the gym. So we were looking at that, and they had grown their business because it was like new and fresh in the market, mm-hmm. right? And so that's not something you would take lightly, but it is an opportunity. In fact, we did it here for a lot of different reasons, and it's proven to be a really good move. Now, grand openings are a lot different than re-grand openings. So sure. let's just start with the grand opening. Grand opening is a great opportunity to get a large client base before you open the doors.
Yep.
I think that is your only goal when it comes to a grand opening, is obviously get the space done, get the certificate of occupancy, get your systems and software set up, build your team and do all the stuff there. But it's, if you open the door to zero clients, like, you missed the boat, right?
All those expenses hit and you got nothing coming in yet.
Right. So number one mistake that gym owners make is not giving themselves a long enough timeline of reality of what it's really going to take to get the build out done, get the equipment ordered, and all the things to get a gym open and off the ground. They rush it. For good reason, right? They're on a timeline with the landlord. Maybe mm-hmm. they're a timeline on their loan and they need income to start coming in. And so like, there's a lot of reasons why this happens, but it's always underestimated.
Very much so.
And when you're dealing with contractors, if assuming you're building a space out, nine times out of 10, they're going to go over schedule and over budget always.
And then on top of that, it's not always the build out, it's the permitting, dealing with the city, getting your certificate of occupancy. Like, you and I have backgrounds in construction. Both of us have seen this almost every single time.
Yeah.
They shoot themselves in the foot thinking the date that they've chosen for a grand opening is great because the construction timeline's on pace. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're stuck waiting for
signatures
from the city.
Or the fire marshal, because the fire marshal saw a sprinkler head that was covered up. And now he's not going to come back for a week.
Yep. It
happens all the time. So, you know, the rule of thumb is always give yourself 30% more time than you really believe you need. And it'll be getting eaten up in there. So first mistake, not giving yourself enough time, not planning things out and accordingly to make sure that, one, you're getting out there and hitting the streets, right? Part of a grand opening is a lot of door-to-door sales, right? Like going to the businesses, meeting the people in your community, going to little events, trying to like partner and let the neighborhood know, hey, we're coming.
Like, you know, it's probably one of the areas where networking actually pays off the most.
Right.
For its effort.
And it's a great excuse. So we're working with a gym out of Connecticut, and they've chosen a location that's in a business park, but they're in the bank location, which is, the bank was right on the street. So by far, amazing location. It's where it's, I was talking to the gym owners and we're talking about going to all those businesses. It's a great excuse. Hey, we're going to be your new neighbors. Let me tell you all about what we do and love to invite you in, all this stuff. And you could really blow the doors off day one.
Yeah.
Think about the clients in your shopping center. Like those guys are perfect clients. And when we were across the street, we had the restaurant owner, we had the tanning salon owner, we had the optometrist in there, we had the dentist. They were all members.
Yep.
Because how convenient is that? Hey, on lunch, they're going to go work out. So, all right. So there's that first one, timeline. You don't give yourself enough time.
Yeah. Number two, budget. you know, where you're spending the money is a big deal. Often, you know, everybody wants the big, beautiful stuff. They want the brand new equipment. They, you know, so I see quite often all of the focus goes there as opposed to the marketing budget, a sales team, things like that, putting the pieces in place that actually turn, put a return in place, you know what I mean, for the money that's being spent. Mm-hmm. No, yes, is it important to have quality equipment and things that people are going to be using, you know, out of the gate? Sure. But is that the thing that people are going to continue to come to the gym for because you have that in place? Or if in lieu of, you know, having the marketing budget to expose mm-hmm. yourself in the area and things like that. So budget's a big one. I think that people tend to do, you know, the build out and all of that type of stuff. And then they have to figure out, oh, how do I get the word out? How do I pay the people that are going to be, you know, converting some of these things? And so the misalignment of where or misbudgeting towards
yeah.
the location build out versus what it's going to take to actually put people in the door.
Yeah. Budget can go awry really quickly in construction, but mm-hmm. really quickly in equipment. And like you said, if you don't leave a chunk of that out for marketing, you got a room full of equipment and nobody knows about
yeah.
it. Basically at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So it would be more advantageous to put, you know, don't get the $10,000 XYZ thing and put that 10 grand into marketing. And I truly believe to do a marketing push in today's day and age, 30 to 50,000 over a 4 to 6 week period is probably about right. And honestly, it's probably a little bit more.
Sure.
And maybe it's 2 months. So the budget isn't set, you know, and hey, you know, good for the gym owners that are bootstrapping the deal and getting it happen. You know, you're going to just run slow. You're just not going to get a whole bunch of people to start right away. You're just going to build a slow grind. And there's that way too.
Sure.
One of the biggest benefits by far when it comes to a grand opening, and we'll make this mistake number three, is not having, one of the biggest mistakes is not having a sales team, but one of the biggest opportunities when you do have a sales team is what you're selling.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about this for a second. So the mistake is not having a dedicated sales team. The benefit or the opportunity when it comes to a grand opening, you're selling somebody on air. One, you're selling air, like your excitement of what could be or what it's going to be and what's over here. And I know you see a trench here, but there's going to be a smoothie bar here, and you're selling the vision. People can get behind that.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's the first thing. They also like the fact that they can commit today. They don't have to start working out until they get open, right?
Yeah.
So there's something to be said there, right? Hey, you can commit today, but you're not going to actually pay or work out and exude the energy it takes to get the result you're looking for 4 more weeks. And during those 4 weeks, we're going to keep you updated. And if it pushes, we'll let you know. Now, this is where you could shoot yourself in the foot. If you don't have a good construction team, that schedule gets blown out, you're losing all those sales.
The other half of it, you can't go too long, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a fine line. I would say call it 90 days that people are willing to wait. But if that, no, not 90 days, maybe 45 days. That's sure. what I meant. Yeah. 45 days is probably where 6 weeks, like somebody could sign up. And if you're not open for 6 weeks, they're cool with that. But if it gets to 8, 12, 16 weeks, they're found another gym.
Yeah. Yep.
They're not coming to you. Like, why would they wait 4 months? So can't sell too early, but you can't sell too late. It's this like 45 day window, which is probably the sweet spot. If you really wanted to get in front of it, maybe you start selling 60 days out, but you better be damn right on that schedule. That certificate of occupancy is the day you can open for business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Tim Lyons here, and let me ask you a quick question. If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. 3 days laser-focused on building a gym that prints, profit, and buys back your time. Okay, I'm going to walk you through the 7 habits of the highly profitable gyms that we work with. You'll master the Love's Flywheel with Dan Waymera. You're going to learn magnetic hiring with Lindsay Vastola and even bolt on a 5-figure nutrition program with Jennifer Brockstrom. You need marketing firepower? Alicia Little shows you AI automation that do the heavy lifting while you sleep. Do you want unshakable sales swagger? Christopher Carter's body language tactics seal the deal. Then New York Times best-selling author Donald Miller closes us out by teaching you how to clarify your message so clients line up and referrals explode. Single track stage, zero fluff, only 250 seats. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for 7 figures. VIP is disappearing fast, so go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code podcast for an instant $100 discount. Good only while you're hearing my voice. Grow Summit 2025, build the gym that wins. See you in Nashville.
Yeah, that's a big one. You know, and then as you have that stuff, I would, in alignment with that, I wouldn't plan grand opening stuff until you're in the location, right? Like start with that soft opening.
Yes.
Right? Work out some of the kinks, much like restaurants do. You know what I mean?
You're friends talking and family, about the event.
The event, right? Like a kickoff grand opening event, things like that. I see so much planning in accordance with that date of, you know, that everything's pre-planned to open, and then all of a sudden something gets pushed, something gets delayed. That now all of that has to get pushed down the line.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you get in there and you do all of that stuff and you don't have the product that you want to bring to market. That you want to bring to the marketplace yet, and you haven't worked out the kinks, right? Your team hasn't taken sessions and knows how to train people in your vision model. Things like that. And so, you know, you can lose somebody just as early as
it's a hell of a point.
It's a scary one too, because you're putting all of your eggs in this basket, trying to make this as good as you can make it.
Yeah.
Customers will give you grace when they know, like when you're clear and transparent on, hey guys, for the next couple of weeks, we're working the kinks out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like think about it. I mean, we've been to soft openings for restaurants together and things like that. Like, you expect questions that they can't answer yet, or, you know, things just not to go as planned, but with the expectation, right, you're setting that standard, you're setting that expectation in the client's eyes, they will give you some of that grace. If you come, you know, out of the gates raging and believe that everything's going to be perfect day one, and then you fail that.
Yeah. You can't get that trust
back.
You're
never getting that back. Yeah.
Yeah. So follow the model of the soft opening. Bring your friends and family in. Do a little bit of a soft opening. Then let your founding members get in there. Test the pressure test. And then after you've been in there 30 or even 45 days, then you plan a grand opening event that might be in month 2 or even month 3,
sure,
where now you've been open. You've got a little buzz going on. Now we bring everybody from the community in, get the ribbon cutting and all this stuff at that point. And then you can leverage it again. So it's like it's a big pre-opening push. Then it's working the kinks out. And then it's another like push again for the grand opening, which brings us to probably mistake number 4 is what you offer in the market, the hook for the grand opening. The buzzword around town is founder's rate. Founders of the, you know, the new gym. The biggest mistake, as mistake number 4, is extending those discounts for life.
Yeah.
Never, ever do a founding rate for life. Discount it for life. Never.
Yeah, that's a scary one. I mean, unfortunately, you know, we all went through the pandemic, and there is a portion of gyms that could not, I mean, think about what we all went through during that, right? Your vendors hit you. Every single vendor you work with hit you with a 30% increase. If your margins are relevant to 30, you know, if you got 30% margins in your business and you couldn't pass on that rate increase that you felt in the business to your consumer, you as the business owner just took a 30% decrease in your margins. And
probably took all the profit away.
Exactly, right? And how many of those gyms are no longer here? because they forced, you know, they were put in a position where they had lifetime rates, couldn't raise those rates to those members. They couldn't offset that increase in expense, and therefore they couldn't pay their bills.
Yep.
And we had a conversation with a couple coaching clients that are doing some re-grand openings and things like that. And that was a question that was bounced around was, you know, are you doing a lifetime founders rate? And I said, absolutely not. I said, as a business owner, there's not a business in the world that doesn't have the ability to raise rates time and place. I mean, subscription companies do it all of the time and just pass it along like it's normal business.
Right.
But yet there's something about fitness, this industry that we feel, one, everybody's afraid of raising rates, which is to me is ironic because we're all underpaid. Any gym owner is underpaid for the services that they provide, in my opinion, right? We're providing health. For health and fitness and what we're doing for the community. If we were paid what the value of that actually is, it would be much, much higher than what anybody's charging for their services. But if you don't have the ability to adjust accordingly, think about all those external circumstances, right? We didn't have a choice during that. We didn't have anything to do with it. Whether you believed, you know, that that was the path, whether you didn't believe it, regardless, your bills went up 30%. And unfortunately, that is something that has to be passed along to the consumer. And if you don't have that option in your business, you can expect to pull a part-time job, pull another job, or at some point probably close the doors.
Here's something really, really interesting. We have a mutual friend. He's our chef, right? He owns a restaurant here in town. It's a breakfast restaurant. You know, biggest heart, right? And I'm in his restaurant the other day and I'm looking at his menu items and they're like, you know, $12.99 for this and $13.99 for that. And a drink, you know, coffee's $3.99 and everything was like exact numbers. And I'm like, if he were to take all of his pricing, honestly, this is like, I directed him to do this. He will not do it. But like as a restaurant, he could do this and nobody would blink an eye. Let's just say his margins in his business are 10% because that's about what a restaurant is. And he wanted to double his margins. Okay. I want to make 20% profit instead of 10. And he can do it like that. If he just took all of his pricing, raised it 10%, the numbers would be weird. It'd be like 14.21 and, you know, whatever, 4.12 and like, you know what I mean? Like the numbers wouldn't be 99.
Sure.
It wouldn't be on the dot. It would be like these weird numbers, 27 cents. And like, cause everything raises 10% globally. Nobody would blink a damn eye from paying $10.99 to $11.67 or whatever. I had to do the math. But like automatically he's collecting 10% more. The customers wouldn't blink an eye.
Yep.
And he would make 10%. And it's like, why wouldn't he do that?
Good question.
He won't do it.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes back to the same reason gym owners don't. It's the fear of losing customers, right? And more often than not, it's the fear that the owner has that's entirely different than the reality of what the consumer is willing to do, right? We assume that a 10% raise, I'm going to lose all of these clients.
There's a big, huge difference between that restaurant and its menu items and a gym. And I'll tell you what that is. The menu items, you pay for that today and you're done. You're done.
Sure.
The thing's fulfilled. Over here on the gym, you've got these people on agreements that have been paying, let's just say $400 a month. And now you want to go to $439, but do you go to $439 with the old people or only the new people or everybody goes up or whatever? And there's this thing going on right now, like in leases, there's a 3% rent increase per year. That's pretty much standard. Sometimes some areas it's 2, sometimes it's 4. And there's gym owners that are talking about building in a 3% annual increase to their contracts. And while I believe that's a great idea, I see 27 flaws with it. Here's a great example of that flaw. Let's just say somebody's coming up on their contract. Here's the way around it. Unless you're increasing your rates every quarter, you're going to run into situations where the new people are paying less than the person renewing.
Sure.
What do you mean? Well, let's just say your rates were $100 a month. I'm just throwing numbers out there. And the person's coming up on their year and you haven't raised the rates in that year. Well, they're going to go to $103 a month and the people new are still paying $100 a month and you got a problem then. unless you raise every quarter, you're always going to have some group of people that are renewing their rates at a higher rate than the newest people coming in the gym. And I believe it should probably be the opposite,
sure.
Right? You should always be one or two increases away, behind, you know, in front.
For your existing clientele base.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, and then when you go 3%, you're going to have all these weird numbers, just like the restaurant. You're going to have 103, 107, 111, you know, whatever. I don't know. I believe that that should be the case, but I think you're running, you're going to have a couple of different issues with the people that are renewing at a higher rate. Well, why don't I just quit and start over and I'll get the lower rate? Yeah. Well, wait a minute. That's not what we want, right? It's like, so anyways, I just thought that was interesting. And I believe there should be something there, but I just haven't like figured out the way that would work perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, I've had gym owners talk about like, you know, maintenance fees, annual maintenance fees to help cover some of that cost. Things that have to go out like that.
We did that when we first opened. We had like a $25 maintenance fee. And
it's common with general access gyms.
Yeah, because I was getting a lot of guidance from the big box club at the time. It didn't go very well. Like, what is this extra? A lot of chargebacks. I didn't pay for that. And like, well, it's our annual rate. And we would get it in July, which is when we needed it. And it was like, just ended up being way more problems.
More headache than it was worth. Yeah.
Yeah. Couple extra grand, and then you're fighting it with all these clients. You're nickeling and diming me. All right, so listen, there was four things. It was not giving yourself enough time, not giving yourself enough budget, not having a dedicated sales team, and granting these lifetime founder rates forever. Now, there's probably 12 other things we can talk about, but not on this episode. That's it for this show. Hopefully that helps you guys tweak some things, adjust, and have a great grand opening or re-grand opening. That's it for the show. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.